What do I have to find about blowing up? You know what I'm saying? Like, feeling better, living better, better location.
What he failed to tell you was, when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please, can you respond?
Are you kidding me?
Who are you rooting for tonight?
I'm rooting for, everybody black. I'm betting on black tonight.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Hey everybody, it's Whitney from WhitneyDanielle.com and NetworkAndSpill.com. And on this episode of Network and Spill, we're doing a spotlight episode, which is one of my faves. This is a hashtag November spotlight because it is November. And what's crazy is this month is almost over, which is really creepy, but it's happening. So we're going to roll with it. I've got a really amazing guest who I feel super lucky to have been able to snag so randomly in like divine timing. This guest is actually somebody I found via IG. I was scrolling. We'll talk about this actually in a minute, but I found her kind of organically. I was just scrolling and then I messaged and then I clicked and then next thing you know, we're on the phone. Next thing you know, we're like BFFs. So here we are. And this guest is actually from the South. She founded her organization and it's called Black Girls with Purpose. And I love that, obviously. And she founded it in New Orleans and then she moved to Dallas recently, which is where I used to be. Which is kind of crazy because I missed her when I was there, she wasn't there. And then when she was there, I guess I wasn't there and now I'm not there, but I'm so glad that we can be connected in this like virtual way. So I wanted to bring her on to talk specifically about her organization, the work that she's doing with Black Girls with Purpose. She's a fellow podcaster. She's a speaker. She's a writer. She's a coach and motivator. And she's just a badass with like a ton of stuff going for her. And these are the kind of people I like on my show. So here we are. Last but not least, I do want to formally introduce you to Mrs. Brianna Lightfoot Smith. Brianna is somebody who I really just like, I'm literally getting goosebumps right now thinking about like all the stuff that's going to happen in 2020 with her company or organization, and just like with the things that she's doing business-wise. So if you're not on the gram following her, make sure you follow her. I will link everything in the show notes. Everything we talk about will be in the show notes. But yeah, let's bring on Miss Bree. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm really excited to connect with you. And like you said, I've just learned the power of social media. I was running away from it for a long time because I was overwhelmed and I feel like I wasn't using it properly. But when I said, okay, this is a tool and a platform for me to be able to connect with other phenomenal women, the skies opened up for me.
Yeah, it really is. So I'm not sure when I started following you on IG or when that happened, which is kind of the fun part.
Yes.
But I've been following you, I guess, for a bit, and I saw something that you had posted, and or maybe you know what it was. It could have been a hashtag. So
yes, probably.
Yeah, I follow.
Use your hashtags, people.
Really, honestly, it's so much fun, and I was like, oh, nobody follows hashtags. Like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's definitely not. It's a great way to find, especially if you're into like random stuff, like you can follow like a crochet hashtag. I do follow that, just FYI, I do. It's random, but
yeah.
This is who I am. And there's a bunch of other hashtags I follow too. And you must've come up on there. And then I clicked on your post and I guess I responded. And then we were talking, I don't remember what the post was, but it was basically like, you know, if you want to get involved in this phenomenal group of women, you know, click here and this is in this. And
yeah.
I did, right? And I signed up for a call with you.
Yes, you did, which I appreciate that because, listen, I think we talked about this offline. In the world of likes and comments, and even a comment is so much better than a like, but when people actually take action from your post, you just want to give them a hug. Like, really? You read the caption. You didn't just double tap. You read the caption. You saw that it said, visit blackgirlswithpurpose.org/biz, and you actually went there and you took action.
Yeah, it's bizarre. We get so used to just like scrolling and liking, scrolling and liking that we don't always read it. But something about the post made me stay, and that's where I think, you know, when you're intentional about being on social media, like you were saying, and connecting with women. I mean, when I look at the bio for Black Girls with Purpose, if you guys are on your phones right now, be sure to follow. Literally, it's Black Girls with Purpose. That's the IG handle. The description says community, creating online and offline places for women of color to connect. And, you know, that tune into our podcast and our IG stuff. And I think that's so, I mean, obviously it's amazing because that's kind of what I love talking about is ability to create community. So why don't you tell us kind of how Black Girls with Purpose started, the show, and the things that you've been creating over when did you start actually?
2016.
Yeah. So since 2016, like tell me about what's been going on.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, honestly. We started, I always preface by saying I did not have any plans on starting an organization. I wanted to write for Essence Magazine and I was just going to have my corner office and be cute and wear my cute, like, you know, hip clothing and everything. And right before graduation from college, I just felt this shift because I was writing for another magazine at the time. And I was just writing an article about, you know, 7 mascaras every girl should wear or something like that. And I just, when I was reading it, I thought to myself, girl, this is not going to change anybody's life. And I knew that if I worked at Essence, that I would probably have to start out with those kind of articles. Eventually I wanted to get to the features, right? But I was going to have to basically pay my dues and write some articles I probably didn't care much about. And that just didn't sit well with me. And so I found myself months away from graduation, changing my entire career path that I'd pursued since I was 6 years old. And when I did that, it was just crazy. I said, okay, well, what do I want to do? What other things do I even like doing? I was like, I've only liked writing. I've only done writing. You know, I've wrote a book when I was like 7 years old called The Cloud Factory. And so I'm like, I don't understand what else I should do. And then I got this email from our career services center at my college, because I went to University of Missouri or Mizzou, and they said, hey, do a year of service. And so I said, oh, that sounds good. And so it was through a program called City Year, which is similar to Teach for America, but it's a shorter term and with a lot less pay. And I said to myself, hey, you know, if I do this year of service, people won't understand that I'm doing it because I don't know what I want to do anymore. It'll just look really commendable. Like, oh my gosh, have you heard? Bree's helping underprivileged youth and the inner cities and blah, 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 blah. And so filled out the application, was going to work in LA. That didn't work out. Was going to do Miami. That didn't work out. And ended up in New Orleans because they saw that I was from Texas and said that I should be closer to home, that kind of thing. And so I ended up working with high schoolers. I worked at a high school. It was the first year that that program was ever in a high school. And it was crazy. Like, Whitney, when I tell you the environment was so toxic, out of a staff of 50, 35 quit or were fired by the end of the year. And it was really, I don't know. It's just interesting that I took the job thinking that it was going to be like a gap filler, and it ended up being the realest job that I've ever had. And so over the course of that year, I found myself gravitating towards a lot of the teen girls and asking them, you know, how they were coping with what it is that they were seeing at our school and what kind of things that they were thinking about. And so, and having conversations with them, and then having conversations with girls that I was working with in ministry at my church out there, I just thought to myself, man, God, like, people are still struggling with this same thing that I was struggling with as a teen, which was suicidal thoughts, lack of identity, that type of thing. And I felt like, I was like, well, if you see a problem, then why don't you work to solve it? And I said, well, how should I solve it? And he said, write a book. And I said, what should it be called? What should it be called? Yeah. And what should we call it? And he said, The Black Girl's Guide to Living on Purpose. And I was like, I don't know about that. You know, I'm really not trying to get behind this whole Black Lives Matter movement. I don't want to be a politician or whatever. And he said, girl, if I'm giving you the title, it's going to be successful. So just go with it. So I wrote the book. The book became a workbook. My aunt told me that I should do workshops. So I did workshops, and then workshops became events. And I looked up and we just had this entire organization. And I remember the first workshop we had, I had geared it towards teens, but college girls were coming, and the girls that were coming most frequent were coming from 3 hours away. And so when I realized that, I said, okay, we might be onto something. If we have women coming from 3 hours away to take advantage of what it is that we're offering. And they didn't just come the first time, they came every consecutive week. So I said, okay, well, I guess we're going to start doing events and helping not just teens. We're going to help college girls in our community. And that's really the beginning of Black Girls with Purpose.
And so that was 3 years ago, almost four.
Yeah. And we had our first conference in 2017, and that was an amazing experience. And then last year we started doing monthly events. We did meet and greet at the beginning of the year just to say, who is our community? You know, how can we connect with them? We did a Write the Vision workshop, which was a phenomenal experience. We based our activity off of this book called Moving Forward, or Living Forward. And that is a really, really great book. And we did a Love Yourself Luncheon for girls. We did a mother-daughter brunch. We did so many events. And that's when I realized, man, I love creating these connections. I love creating these experiences.
It's definitely a lot of fun. And I think it's got to be, you know, exciting. And I guess thrilling too, to a degree, where you're not really sure what's going to come about, right? You don't know what's going to happen, who's going to meet who, but you know that something special is going to happen. And it may not be something like in that moment, but maybe, you know, an aha moment happens, or a light bulb goes off, or someone goes home and really sits with what they, you know, heard, or what happened, you know, in person. And that's kind of, I think, one of the most beautiful things about it. So can you talk a little bit about how it's changed this work, right? This mission, this testimony has really helped change your life in different ways.
I would love to. Man, I think one of the biggest ways that it's changed my life is that it's shown me what I'm capable of. As I shared, I was a little girl who had thoughts of suicide, who didn't really see a reason for living. I would picture my funeral and who would come and who would be sad that they weren't nice to me and all these different things. And to think that same little girl or teenager could become this woman who was not only confident in her own identity, but was able to build other women up in their identity has really impacted me. And honestly, it's made me a woman of integrity. It's helped me to live what I teach. I can't be out here talking to women about how they should take care of their mental health if I'm not myself willing to go to therapy. I can't talk to them about how they should be eating better if I'm not eating clean. I can't talk to them about how they should put themselves in the right circles with women who support them if I have relationships that are toxic to me. And so it's just been this ever-evolving thing. And it's almost like a mirror where Black Girls with Purpose has helped me to look at my full self, good and bad, and see the things that I want to change about myself, the things that could be better, but also seeing the things that are there that are really awesome that I didn't recognize until I basically put them on this platform for other people to see.
Yeah, being able to walk your talk is, it can be challenging. I mean, so I commend you for seeing that so soon, because I don't know if that clicks for everybody, especially people that are doing work that's deeper, and especially work with, I guess, young people, especially young impressionable people like a teenager or a preteen, right? These are like really important years that will shape like the women that they become. And I think for us as leaders and as like, you know, influencers or whatever you want to call it, right?
Right. But
women who are trying to move people and help shape people and whatnot, that requires a lot of like self-work, and you have to hold yourself responsible to all of that. It's not because everyone's looking at you, right? To a degree, everyone's either watching you, and you can't, you know, not walk your time. I mean, I guess you can, a lot of people do, but I don't think you can do that with full integrity. I don't think you can do that long-term. At some point, you know, things are going to hit the fan and someone's going to find out, your dirty laundry will be aired, and you'll have to explain yourself. And when you put in the work and the time and effort to be better and to do better and to live better, I think it shows. And that absolutely bleeds into the fabric of your entire company, organization, nonprofit, whatever it is you're doing. And it's super important. So definitely kudos to you for that. I'm on your IG page and I see, you know, as I scroll here, there's so much that you're doing and that you're offering. So with the show, it's funny, I've had a few podcasters on the show recently. So I want you to talk about the podcast, but I also want you to talk about what your favorite part of that is. Like your favorite, is it the workshops? Is it hosting luncheons? Like, what do you love doing? And then you got to tell me about the show.
Okay, man, that's such a heavy question. What do I love most? I love creating aha moments for women because, and you know, what you're seeing on our page, on our Activate community, that's something recent that we're launching, and we can talk about that more later, of course. But the reason why I call our Activate community Activate is because there are so many people who are walking around and they're like, what's my purpose? What was I created for? And I have seen, you already know it and you're probably doing it already. It's just something that you need to activate or something that you need to have someone else activate in you. And so when I have these events and I see women have these aha moments, these activating moments where they realize, oh my gosh, I'm a speaker. Or, oh my gosh, I can write a book. Or, oh my gosh, you know, I love poetry, or I love shooting photos, or even the women that we hire that we work with Black Girls of Purpose when we host events, like the woman that we had, the woman who owned the space where we had our Fearless event, our live podcast experience celebrating our podcast anniversary. She was in the room and I said something and she said, oh my gosh, I have chills. And just having those moments with women where they're getting the chills, they're having the aha moments. There is literally nothing like it. And as someone who loves connecting women as well, I love being at my events and seeing women exchange numbers or Instagrams or say, hey, okay, we're going to have lunch next week. I had breakfast with one of the women in our community this morning, and she was telling me that her and another woman in our community were texting the other day about something that they had talked about at our event. And I'm just like, yes, this is the purpose, because we talked about this too. So many people think we're only competing, we're not collaborating, and that's just not true. That's not what I'm seeing. And I don't know if that's because I'm creating spaces where women feel like they don't have to compete, but I love it, and it's just everything to me.
I'm glad. I seeing people get something special from showing up for themselves, regardless of whether it's a connection or an aha moment, is so amazing. I love seeing that. And I love, you know, when I go to events and I see, it's not my event, but I see Black women kind of huddled in a corner, you know, just smiling and having a good time and talking about stuff and kikiing in a way that only Black girls can do. It's amazing. It really is. And it's powerful because, there's a lot of these preconceived notions about what we are capable of doing and how we're capable of doing it and how we show up and how we don't show up. And I know we talked about this a little bit when we first kind of chit-chatted, but to me, that's a hot topic. And so we can get into that and we will get into that. But I do want to talk a little bit about the podcast show and how you're sparking aha moments over there.
Yes.
So what is this show called?
It's the Black Girls of Purpose podcast. And we actually, I'm giving y'all the tea. We're going to be changing our name in January. I can't tell you what we're changing it to just yet, but we're going to be changing our name in January. But for right now, it's the Black Girls of Purpose podcast. And you said, what's my favorite part about the podcast? I think the discipline that it's taught me, because I am a wife, I'm a mom of two boys now my oldest son is actually two. So I guess I can't say two under two. I can say two under three. And I have to get up early to record, or I have to find times to record when my son might be at his half day program, I never take the risk of recording while napping because I've had too many moments of the screaming right when I was about to wrap up the episode for the day. And so I think just the discipline is something that I really appreciated. And my podcast is a Bible study. So I also love the fact that it's helped me to study my word more because before, I don't know, it's with anything, right? People say the best way to learn something is to teach it. And I have had to really learn my stuff because I can't, going back to what you were saying with integrity, I can't tell people, the Bible says stuff about your identity if I can't quote scriptures directly that say, no, 2 Peter 2:9 talks about how you're chosen and how you're royalty, or how Psalm 139 talks about how you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, I have to know those things for myself. And one thing that I love too is just when I get texts from people saying, Bree, this is exactly what I needed, or Bree, you know, how did you know I was going through this? Or Bree, girl, I was clapping when I heard you talk about anger and snapping back, or whatever the case may be, just that transparency really empowers me. And I've even had someone this past month who said that something that we something that I talked about on the podcast sparked her to write a poem. And she said she hadn't written a poem in a while. And so just to know, going back to that activating, right, to know that we're sparking creativity, or we're sparking those, oh my gosh, this is what God thinks about me moments, or whatever the case may be, is just really inspiring. And it holds me accountable to keep producing episodes every single week, because you're a podcaster too. You know that there are weeks where you're like, you know what, I'm not sure this is going to be a bye week, or maybe, I mean, is anybody even, and obviously we have the stats to show people are listening, but sometimes we think, are they really going to notice if I don't push an episode out on Tuesdays, even though that Tuesdays are our days? And I see now, no, people care, and they're looking for what it is that you offer. And so that means so much to me. And I think that is one of my favorite things about podcasting. And I didn't ever intend for it to be a Bible study. I thought it was just going to be what our blog was, which was highlighting Black women in our community. But I did, I think I was studying a particular topic in the Bible and just felt like I wanted to share that with our listeners. And that was when we launched back in October 2018. And little did I know that that was going to end up being the format every single week. And then we also still have the features that we do monthly.
Yeah, the show, I mean, I found out about it quite recently. I think I found out about a Thursday when we talked, mm-hmm. Which we're recording now on a Tuesday, and this is going to go live on Thursday. So it was just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. But what I love about people who are podcasters is that you do have to be consistent. And like you mm-hmm. said, when you want to stop, when you want to be like, is this really necessary? You have to kind of be like, no, girl, you're putting out this episode. It's happening. And it's interesting because that it's different than any other social media platform, any other modality, any other way of communicating with a group of people. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because you control it in such a unique and special way. And when you don't show up, it's affecting other people in ways that you may not be aware of, or that you may not see, but it does affect people. So, and it affects, you know, a number of things, your stats. Sometimes it can affect your momentum, right? Like going to the gym. Definitely. If you're like, oh, you know what? I'll just, you know, today's kind of weird. It's raining outside. So maybe I just won't. And then the next day it happens again. And you're like, well, this day it's actually raining even harder. And, you know, they shut down that road. They're doing some construction. And, you know, my ankle kind of hurts. Then there's more, and it snowballs. And that's a way to not be consistent. But with podcasting, you kind of have to be regular about it. And people are watching it, technically listening, but they're there. So I'm glad that you have that show, and I'm glad that you have that additional way to connect with your audience. Yeah. Now, one of the big things, you know, I wanted to talk about before we get into the community is really about like living with intention. And I saw that somewhere on your media kit or something. And I want to talk about how you've been able to start living with intention, because you mentioned in the beginning your story about working and then being around teens and having these thoughts as a kid and growing through that. But then kind of we get to the part where you're writing books and you're at Essence Festival and you're hosting luncheons. But tell me a little bit more about what happened in between, where you were really going through it, trying to pick yourself up and really become something that you didn't know that you wanted to be, but that you knew that could be.
Ooh, that's a fantastic question. Wow. The in-between, because that's what people don't talk about, right? I honestly, even now, feel like I'm in a state of in-between. In-between where I feel like Black Girls of Purpose is going to be and where we are currently. And you talked about that as well. People will look at our Instagram feed and they will look at our website, and you know, I'm really big on branding. I'm really big on consistency. I have a background in graphic design, and I have a background in website design. So I do a lot of those things myself. And I think that people can think, oh my gosh, she's got this huge team. You know, she's out here popping. Everybody's buying everything that she's offering. And the truth is that that's not the case. I have been in this in-between season for really 2 years, since in 2017, when I had my son, Jaden, my first son, Jaden. I only have one son, Jaden, my first son, Jaden. My first son, Jaden, when I had him, that's really where I think my in-between started, because I thought I was going to go full-time with Black Girls of Purpose then, to the point where I was willing to sacrifice really my ministry here at home. Like, the house was a mess. I wasn't really talking to my husband like that. Like, I was just, I had a baby, literally delivered him. I think I was home for 6 weeks because I had to be, because I broke my toe a week after I gave birth to him, and I couldn't drive and it was my right foot, which is my dominant foot, and all these different things. And so whenever I was released to drive again, I was just like, peace, I'm going to all the mixers. And for me, mixers looked like my life groups and stuff at church or whatever the case may be. But I was really trying to make sure that I didn't lose my identity as Bree, that I didn't want to just be a mom. I didn't want to just be a wife. And so I fought so hard to make sure that people still saw me, right? And so because of that, I think I really led myself on this journey that I wasn't expecting to go on, where I had a lot of things stripped away from me, that I did just have those quote unquote identities as mom and wife for a while, where I wasn't bringing in income into our household, literally from September of last year until even right now. Like, we bring in our occasional sales with Black Girls of Purpose, but everything that we've made with Black Girls of Purpose, I've reinvested into Black Girls of Purpose because I know that this is our sowing season. And I know that next year is going to be huge, but there have just been a lot of frustrations with, okay, God, I know that this is something that you've given to me. So where is the success? Like, what's happening with it? Why isn't this launching? Why have I not sold out of all these products or these services? Why aren't people like beating down the doors trying to get these memberships? And it's really caused me to go back and say, okay, what is my purpose behind doing this? If I'm doing it from a place of service, then I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep being consistent. I'm going to keep posting the podcast episodes, sending out the weekly newsletters, doing the Instagram live Bible studies, posting about members of our community. I'm going to do all those things because I know that they're helping people, and I know that this is what people need. And I am trusting that because I am sowing those seeds, like, the harvest is going to come for me. And so I think it's just really been this battle with identity and understanding my identity is not based in my income, that my identity is not based in my Instagram following, that even in moments where I may not come as correct as I would like last week with the Instagram live Bible study, my hair was looking crazy. So I had a hat on and I'm like, girl, this is not good branding. This is not a good look. But at the end of the day, what people are starting to come from for is me. And the fact that they're showing up, even in moments where I feel like I'm not at my best, shows me, one, the power of community, but it also shows me, Bree, you are the person that you've been aspiring to be.
And that confirmation is, how does that feel? That actual confirmation of knowing that that's where you're at?
It's indescribable. I share often, when I share my testimony, I talk about how my mom would always tell me when I was 15 and struggling with suicide, which she never knew that I was thinking about killing myself. I didn't tell her that until I was much older. But she would just tell me, she would come to my room periodically and she would say, Bree, this isn't the end of your story. She'd say, I wish that I could tell you all the great things that God has for you. I wish I could just lay it out for you and say, hey, you know, you're going to go to this place, you're going to be able to experience this particular thing. She said, I can't tell you, but I know that he has great plans for you. And so to be in that season of these are the great plans and knowing that this is just a glimpse of it is really amazing to me. But I think I had to start with what I had instead of waiting on this big aha moment or this big check from someone or this big, you know, investor or magazine article to do the work that I'm already doing.
And that's important. And I think I hope everybody got that. And if you didn't, do the little 15 second rewind and hear it again, because I think for me, the problem that, you know, comes up is that we're always kind of looking for the next shiny object, or we're looking for that like piece of gold to just come out of like the dirt when we're out here digging and we're trying to get stuff done. We're looking for this huge rock, right? This huge diamond in the rough. We're looking for something big or tangible. And sometimes that's not what happens. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you get little stones. Maybe you get like a little rock or like a piece of like a toy, or like you find some random shit, but it's something, and it's something that you can hold on to, and that's something that proves that if you keep going, you will find something.
Yeah.
And the more that you keep going and the more that you stay the course, I think the better, the better you'll be and the more likely you'll be able to stay consistent with yourself and stay true to who you are. And yeah. I want to interject and say, I have this like deck of cards from Gabrielle Bernstein. She's an author. She wrote a bunch of books, and it's not like a tarot card or anything. It's just like a book of affirmations, or not a book, but like a deck of affirmations. And you just kind of pull them out and they're just little affirmations. Mm-hmm. And I pulled one the other day just because I was feeling like it and I was just kind of having a shitty night. And the card said that, I think it was like, lack of happiness is, or unhappiness is a lack of faith in the universe or a lack of faith in God, if that's who you believe. And I find that to be so interesting because I had just got done complaining about how I was unhappy about something. And once I read that, I was like, wow. And I really, that's all it said. It was that one little sentence. And I just sat with that. And I've been thinking about it. I kept the card out. I didn't put it back. Hopefully I don't lose it. But it's been sitting on my bed for the last couple of days. And it's a constant reminder that, you know, when you are feeling like your purpose or your journey or your path isn't as, you know, pretty or plentiful as maybe you would like, that having that faith in something, it could be religion, it could be yourself, it could be your future, it could be your business, whatever it is, right? Having faith in something, but having faith typically in a higher power is going to, you know, it's just, it feels a little bit better for most of us.
Sure.
If you have that faith, it will propel you and it will make you happy, because at least knowing that something's coming is better than reveling in the fact that you don't have it in this moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to keep that card out. We're going to keep it out. We're going to keep looking at it, but it was,
frame it.
Yeah. It was a big aha moment for me literally this week, this past weekend. And I hope that everybody listening, if you feel, no matter what age you are, doesn't matter if you're a teenager, preteen, maybe you're a young adult, maybe you're a little older, if you're feeling like you are not happy, you don't have purpose, you don't like your purpose isn't where you want it to be, I think there are tools. I know there are tools, but I think there are tools that you can, I guess, test for a little bit or try out or try on for a little bit until you find what works for you that will help you continue the journey towards whatever it is that you do want, even if you don't necessarily feel like you know what that is in this moment. And so that's kind of my next question is, a lot of times when we talk about purpose and when we talk about living intentionally, it's like, well, I got to find myself, but nobody knows, nobody knows where they are. Right. And like, oh, well, I guess I'm in Virginia, but like, how do I find myself? And sometimes it feels very difficult to, or kind of confusing, I think, to a lot of us to try to